Hello, I'm Emma Desi, and welcome to another episode of Turning Readers into Writers. If you're brand new here, welcome, and here's what you need to know. This is a community that believes you are never too old to write your first novel. No matter what you've been up to until now, if you're ready to write your book, I'm ready to help you reach the end. I focus on helping you find the time and confidence to begin your writing journey, as well as the craft and skills you need to finish the book. Each week I interview debut authors, editors, and industry experts to keep you motivated, inspired, and educated on all things writing, editing, and publishing. If you want to catch up, head on over to emmadesi.com, where you'll find a wealth of information and tools to help you get started. Before we dive in, this week's episode is brought to you by my free cheat sheet, 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write. In this guide, I give you 30 ways that you can find time to write in the small gaps that appear between the various errands and tasks and responsibilities that you have in your day-to-day life. Now, you might be thinking that you don't have any time to spare, but I can guarantee these top tips will give you writing time you didn't think you had. If you thought writing always involved a pen and paper or a keyboard, think again. If you thought you needed at least an hour at a time to write your manuscript, I help you reframe that. You won't be disappointed. Get your free copy of 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write by going to emmadesi.com/30toptips. Okay, let's dive in to today's episode. Tracy Skuse lives in Cumberland, British Columbia in Canada. Her fiction and personal essays have appeared in several literary journals across North America. Her short story collection, Hunger Moon, was released by Nowest Press in April 2020. She founded The Writing Journey with Tracy Skuse, an online creative writing school that focuses on narrative embodiment, deep reading, and the intricacies of craft, so that writers can finish their best stories and get them out into the world. So today I'm going to be chatting to Tracy about her journey to writing, the stories that she tells and what she's working on right now, and we're also going to talk about an event she is hosting in August 2021, and I'm really excited to learn more about it. So let's delve in and hear what Tracy has to say. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for being here with me today. I've been trying to get you on the show for a while now, so I'm delighted you're finally here.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you, Emma.
Now, I always start my interviews by asking my guests, you know, what was your journey to writing? How did you get started?
Well, I sort of, like, I could say that I started as a young person, that I wrote fervently in journals, like ever since I was three or whatever, but that's not the case. I definitely enjoyed creative writing in class as a kid. I wrote a lot of stories about time travel and magical dragons and creatures, you know, that kind of thing. But my first like published, the first kind of taste I got of like publishing my work was actually in grade 11. And I wrote we had to write a sonnet. And I wrote a sonnet. I guess we were studying poetry or Shakespeare or something. And she published the quote unquote best poems, the example poems on this like sheet of paper. You remember the purple Gestetner kind of ditto or whatever they used to call them. And mine was there. And I felt so just delighted to see my work up there. And I also really, the form of the sonnet forced me to think of words. And I only know this in retrospect. I really spent time on it and I loved working on it. And I loved thinking about, you know, it was about sailing. It was about my love of sailing. And I had to, you know, find, I still remember using the word tern, like T-E-R-N, the bird, and kind of searching for it, like searching for the bird that would work for my poem. Anyway, and then And then I kind of put that away, and I had an experience where I was at university and I did well on my papers. They were all my profs that used to say, "Oh, this is so clear." And I remember actually now working in, having worked in, you know, that level of teaching, I understand why they gave me that. Like, you know, it's really great to get a clear paper. But I thought, like, oh, I can like write, and I'm going to be a writer. I just like decided that, you know, one day I'm going to be a writer. No idea what that meant. And I kind of, you know, was like, okay. And, didn't really act much upon it until after my first son was born. So I had a son, I was fairly young, and it knocked my world apart, basically. And so someone gave me in that time, the Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg, which really focuses on the practice of free writing and just diving in. And I was like, okay, like you said, you wanted to be a writer, so just do it. And I got my notebook. I think, I can't remember if it was then or after that or before that, but I really wanted to, I felt compelled to write a particular story, and I started to write it, and I was like, whoa, this is hard. Like, I can't figure out how to make this a story. Anyway, but I continued on with the writing prompts and really cultivating that practice, and cultivating my capacity to come up with images and choose strong words and all that sort of thing before I actually things coalesced and became stories. I wrote poems. Some of them worked and some of them didn't. And same with stories. And then I really wanted to commit to writing full length stories or short stories particularly. And I didn't really know how, and I sort of made it up and tried, and I had some success, and then I just couldn't like figure out why something was working and something wasn't working. So I ended up doing my MFA in creative writing and fiction in the 2010s, now that we can say that. And there I like, so I had all this kind of lead up to finding the, you know, really cultivating the practice and the discipline and all that sort of thing. And then understanding that it was a craft also. And I was interested in that. And I think there's nothing wrong with just cultivating the practice and working on that level. But I had this appetite for the craft. And I felt like I was almost surprised that there was a craft, right? I'd been doing all this work and I'm like, oh my God, this is like an art. This is a craft. And I want to know how to do it. And so I, you know, read craft books but really going into my MFA was really helpful to have that guidance, have that mentorship to really kind of bring my writing up to the level that I wanted it to be at. And and then I wrote my book.
Yay. Well, we're going to come to that in a second. But I'm always interested because I don't have an MFA or an MA. And so I'm always interested to know from those who have been through it, what was the kind of key takeaway for you? Was it learning the craft? Was it working one-to-one with a mentor? Was it the community you made? Or was there no one thing? In fact, it was the whole experience.
Yeah, well, you know, back when I went to do it, there weren't as many online courses and programs as there are now. And I wonder how that would be for me now, because I, you know, it's really, I just couldn't find the support that I needed. I live in a small community. Alice Munro lived here for a number of years, and I kept hoping like I would bump into her and she would become my mentor, you know, and she would just like say, this is how it's done. But no, that never happened. So I had to take action myself and find my own mentors. And this is the way that I approached it. And yes, it was the mentorship, and yes, it was the community, and yes, it was that, you know, that learning of craft. It was all, it was the alchemy of all of it. And yeah, it's what I aspire actually to bring, what I wanted and was hungry for, to my students through my own program. So you don't have to go and get an MFA to really access those teachings, but yeah.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And you mentioned too that you've always been drawn particularly to the short story. What is it about the short story above a long form novel, for example, that really appeals to you?
I don't know if I was always drawn to the short story. I'm going to say that what I did was I wrote short stories before I did a lot of reading of them, because I thought they were easier. And I quickly, well, and then I read, there's a woman, Judy Gardner, who's a writer and a Canadian writer. And she was a judge for a contest. And she, in her judge's notes, was like, seems like a lot of people who are writing short stories aren't reading them. And I was like, felt kind of busted. And then, you know, I did start, I read lots of Alice Munro, and who's not a particularly, I mean, she's a short story writer, but her short stories, if you, you know, are get longer and longer through her, well, like sort of shrink back up again. But her, you know, her stories are sometimes 70, 80 pages long. So it was really, I don't know what I was drawn to. Like when you read a good short story, oh, then someone gave me the Best American Short Stories anthology. And there was just some really high quality writing in there, and smart and engaging and interesting. And I wanted to know how that form, I'm always trying to like interested in how a form works. Even a novel, like right now, I'm like, how does a novel work? Because there's actually lots of different ways to work a novel, and there's lots of different ways to work a short story. And I think what I love about short story is like it's short enough that you can actually be quite playful in it and really try different things that might not work in the long form, but can be really powerful. I think the thing with a short story is like it can be really a burst of like intense energy and power in a way that a novel, you just can't. I feel like a lot of novels, like you were talking about the saggy middle, Emma, right? That it's hard, a hard form to sustain well. And not to say that it can't be done. And sure, there's lots of novels, and I love some novels. And but short stories, I just find them, they're more like poems than they are a novel. Right.
Yeah. And I can see from your face and the way you're talking about them, this is a real love for you now, and perhaps an unexpected one, but you've fallen in love with short stories.
They're just, I don't know, there's some sort of energy that they create that as I'm reading a novel now, I keep putting down novels and not finishing them, reading them. And so, and I don't do that with short stories.
So that burst of energy and power that you've been reading in short stories, you're now putting them into your own short stories. And your first book was published last year, Hunger Moon. And I wonder, how long had you been working on those individual stories, and how did you decide which stories you wanted to include in the collection and which ones weren't going to make the cut this time?
Right. Well, so probably the oldest story, by the time I got to publishing the book, or was 2009, I think. Like there's probably a story that old in there. And that one was a story that just kind of like came together really effortlessly and easy. And one of those ones that's sort of deceptive in terms of making me think I know what I'm doing, but I really didn't know what I was doing. I'm just having a look here at the table of contents. So there were, I think, five stories that were part of my thesis for my MFA. And there were another couple that I worked on during that process. So that they, I'm going to say that was like, really, I finished writing my book in 2017, but it wasn't out for publication until, like, anyway, it takes time. It came out in 2020. So there were stories there that I'd worked on during my thesis, but some of those stories had different iterations before. So like how long I worked on something, I can't totally say. Like with something like Promontory, which is a story about this young couple who get, you know, they're in Australia, they're traveling. That story I tried to write in lots of different ways over the years. I wouldn't call it the same story, but I would say like I was efforting toward that story for a lot of years before I could figure out the narration and the point of view and that sort of thing. So, you know, that took a long time. Like something like Bliss and a Boy I Once Loved took me probably 3 or 4 years to write. It's one of the longer stories in the book, but then something like Because the Fall is in 2 weeks, like was like a few weeks, you know, so it really depends on.
And did you have a theme for the book when you knew you wanted to include stories around a certain theme, or was it just the ones that you particularly loved?
Well, to be honest, there aren't that many more stories kicking around, but I mean, or there weren't. What I did was really, I applied for a grant in a Canada Council grant, and you have to talk about you like the theme of your book. So I had to really think about it, and I hadn't finished all the stories, but I recognized in each of the characters, there was this kind of spiritual longing that was like kind of born out of, I almost want to say out of necessity, but like out of, in a world that we're in, a very secular world, like there was no like spiritual container for these characters who actually yearned and longed for those existential kind of answers. Mm-hmm. And so I recognize that as like a common theme. Like all my characters are, they're really lost and they're really seeking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly got that when I read the collection. I can see that coming through. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm interested too in the idea that, you know, you have a story, but you're not happy with it, and it goes through many iterations. How do you know? Or maybe you don't, or maybe you just have to feel it out, but does there come a point where you say, okay, this story's just not working, let's put it to one side? Or how do you know when to just keep going with it and try it in different ways to see when it fits?
Yeah, I do put them aside a lot, partially because of life, and partially I'll just feel like I can't figure out what is needed here. I need to put it away for a while. And for something like Bliss and a Boy I Once Loved, which I said took 4 years, it's not like I was working on it diligently every day, but like I actually put it aside. I wasn't sure if it was going to go into this collection. It was a toss up between, was I going to work on this story or another story? And I was walking in the forest one day, and like this line, this sentence came out, that was Claudia, my narrator. And I wrote it down. I was like in the forest and I wrote it down, and then I walked a little bit further and another one came out. I was like, okay, she's the one, she wants to come forward. So I went back into that story and worked out the, you know, all the snags, mm-hmm. which took another however long, but yeah.
Well, I love that, the idea that actually it was your character that told you, no, the story's not done yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I knew I loved the story. Like it's one of my favorite stories in the book, and I really love it, and I love her, and I just I knew I wanted to complete it, but I knew it was like a longer story, and how long was it going to be, and how long, or, you know, was it going to be ready in time and all that sort of thing. But yeah.
Okay. Oh, I like it. Now I'm going to change tack a little bit because as well as being a writer, you're also a teacher as well. You have your own students who you work with. And a number of them are memoirists. And a question I certainly get asked from people who are writing their memoir is, how do you protect the identity of those people you're writing about, particularly if it's not a very happy subject? And so I wondered if you had any sort of thoughts on that, or advice that you give to your students who are sort of navigating that tricky road between wanting to be truthful and tell their story, but also not wanting to upset family members or friends.
Well, let me say, first of all, that I do write, just so people aren't like, is this fiction writer writing? I also write essays, and I write sort of personal essays. So, and I'm not super protective of the people I write about, but I get it. And I actually do. There's a story I want to tell that I won't tell because it's, you know, there's someone that I don't want to upset. Like, I'm not going to write that story. But I think sometimes, not always, but sometimes that thought, protecting the identity, stops the person from even writing. So my advice is always to just write it. Like, you don't have to publish these things. We don't have to put them out in the world, but you need to write it because it is your story. And so that's one part. If it's going into further iterations, you have to decide, you know, do you connect with this person and talk to them? Do you and tell them, hey, I'm writing this story? I know that particularly families can get very triggered. Do you make composite characters? So let's say you have three siblings, and in the memoir you just kind of like condense them into one, or, you know, or just talk about the one sibling and but make it a composite. Or do you just, you know, protect the innocent and give them different names? You know, like, I wrote an essay about my older son's father, and I just said the man I will call Bones, right? And so it's not his name. He knew who he was, but yeah. And it's funny too, like, I think with that particular essay, which made it quite far into a finalist position in a national contest. So it was online, you know, and it was available for people to read, including this person. It was really about me, but it was also about my relationship with this person. And his interpretation of it was different than mine. So it's just also interesting, and I say that because it's interesting, our fear, our fear is often our own, right? It's not like what that person will perceive. They may perceive it completely differently, not see themselves, not see the truth that you see, that sort of thing. The other thing I think that's really important with memoir, when we are writing about someone else, is like, we're really searching for our truth. You can't write a memoir piece to get revenge. You can't write a memoir piece to make that other person look bad. Like, that shouldn't be the agenda of your story. If it is, then you need to do some work. Mm-hmm. And that when we write from a place of our truth, and we really go in, not just like, he did this to me, but like looking beneath that, and like, where did I, you know, for this particular story, it was like really seeing where I gave away my power, and why did I trust this person. Mm-hmm. And just to like, I actually ended up at the end of that essay having a big cry. It was quite cathartic. And I'm not saying that's why I wrote it, but that you really dig down, you got to dig down in memoir. It's not just about like what you think is the story isn't what's going to come out. It's something deeper. It's something more.
Mm-hmm. So it's not almost not about them at all. It's really about you as an individual, what's happening to you at that time when that was happening, your reactions to it, and now how you perhaps have worked through it, and now how you see it with a bit of distance, perhaps.
Yeah.
Really good point to make about the fact that it's not about revenge, that it's actually got to come from a good place and an honest and truthful place about yourself, not the other person.
Yeah. And that we are all human and we're all, you know, valuable. And yet there are people who have done terrible things. Like, you know, I know this isn't fiction. I mean, it isn't memoir, but it's fiction. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. If you've not read that book, I highly recommend it. But there's, you know, the father in that story is, he rapes his daughter, and that's brutal, right? And yet Morrison digs deep into the past of this character and like reveals how he became that way, you know, his wounds, right? So we're all just like walking around with our wounds relating to each other. And so you, a person who, even if they've done something horrific, there's still, you have to find their humanity and relate to it. Mm-hmm. If you're writing, you can't just present them as this evil, you know, no matter what they did. Like, that's part of the healing, I think, with writing memoir. And it's not necessarily coming to a place of forgiveness or just loving it, you know, making everything okay. But to, if you want to write, if you want to present it to the world, there needs to be that element of humanity in it. Yeah.
Beautifully put. Thank you. I'm going to change tack again after that.
Well, okay.
Because I know that next month you have an event coming up called Write from the Heart. And I would love, if you could tell us where the inspiration for this event came from, or where the inspiration for the title even came from.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's not a huge diversion from what we were just talking about. But my impetus is, you know, there's a lot of kind of advice online about writing. You just have to do this, and you just have to do this, and you can plot and finish and all these things. And I wanted to get beneath that, because that to me is really important. If you could have all the plot points in the world and finish your first draft and all the things, and yet there'd be no like heart to your story, right? If it's a very mechanical approach to the book, it's better to, you know, have a kind of flawed manuscript that has a lot of heart, mm-hmm. than to write something that's very sort of sterile and by the book, so to speak, and just crank it out there. So that's part of it. That was part of the impetus. And to also, because our culture is so emphasizes productivity. And yes, you know, as writers, it's lovely and great to produce, but we also need to, we are not machines, we are not computers, and we need to nourish that creative spirit in ourselves, so that what we do bring to the page is full of life and heart and feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it's not always easy to get beneath, like, you know, when I was talking about the memoir and getting beneath and getting like that requires a lot of going in, digging deep, so to speak. And it's hard to want to do that because it's uncomfortable. So creating kind of the supports that nurture us so that we're not just totally, you know, thrown off the rails by doing that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, it can get very, very messy, can't it? So having even just you acknowledging that, for anyone who's wanting to kind of dig down and write more essays, essay style pieces or memoir, just having someone else say that out loud, this can get messy, it can be uncomfortable, and that's part of it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. here are some ways that you can support yourself or be supported as you go through it. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about the event.
Sure. Okay, but first of all, I want to acknowledge too that I feel like that's an important thing to do for your fiction as well as your nonfiction. Yeah. So it's not just memoirists that need to go deep. It's also fiction, because we love, think about the characters you love in your fiction, not necessarily the fiction you write. Well, I mean, yes, I hope you love, but like the characters that you've been really drawn to as a reader. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so both fiction and memoir writers are invited to this event. And one of the days is going to focus on really on mindset and getting into the, you know, the nurturing space of a great writing practice. And then the other day, so that's August 5th and 6th, or August 5th is the craft, is going to be that. And then August 6th is going to be mostly craft workshops. So which address the, like, getting to the heart, like Emma, you're going to be there, which I'm looking forward to. And you're going to be talking about the writing, the heart, finding the heart of your scene. Mm-hmm. So we've got that essay, our workshop. We've got Mary Atkins coming on talking about why heart matters. We've got Rhonda Douglas talking about do-it-yourself writing retreat, which will be really, really fun. And Dallas Woodburn, she's going to talk about creating a nurturing writing practice. Michelle Berger is going to be talking about affirmations and brain hacks. And we've got Janelle Hardy, who's going to talk about the body. I'm really excited about that. She's going to talk about the body, using the body to overcome writer's block in memoir. Janice Hardy is going to talk. We've got two Jay Hardys. I don't think they're related. Janice Hardy is going to talk about getting more into the internal conflict in your characters. We've got Tiffany Clark Harrison, who's going to give us some tips on how to embody your characters. So we've got lots coming up. Yeah.
Are you hosting a workshop as well, or will you be?
I am. I'm going to talk about what I coined the impossible longing, and why that's important for your characters. So.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So it's a way to kind of hack in, or not hack in, but to kind of deepen your characters. I think a lot of the time we don't know how to go down into the characters and access their deeper core. And so, which is really where their humanity is. So getting down there.
Oh, lovely. It's exciting. Lots to cover there over the course of the 2 days. And I love that you've also got a little bit of the kind of emotional, the mindset stuff, which is so, so important. I think we're realizing that now. And then also the craft, which of course I know you've told us you're a big fan of, as all writers should be, but I know it's a particular passion of yours. So how can people sign up for this? Where can they go?
Yeah, and I'm realizing I need to talk to my tech person and make sure it's on my website. But it's tracyskews.com is my website, and then / write from the heart. And I think, Emma, you could put a perhaps a link in the show notes for people.
Yeah.
And the other way is you can find me on my Facebook group, which is the Write Your Story Society. And in there, there's going to be lots of links to get to the sign up.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing information about that. It's going to be an exciting 2 days.
Yes.
Now, I'm conscious of time. I've kept you for a long, long time. But before you go, I'd love to know a little bit more about what you're writing yourself at the moment. What are you working on?
Well, I have been a little all over the place. I've just gone through a big transition in my life. And so I've been doing lots of what I call record keeping. And some of that is turning into essay. So I'm playing with different essay forms, which I love. I love to play with form. So I've got that. And then on the other hand, I've got a handful of flash fiction that I'm currently revising and working on, which is also great. You know, I love short stories and I also love short stories.
What's flash fiction for you? Is there a kind of maximum word count?
I'd say about 1,000 words is maximum. I kind of hover between the 500 and 700 word range.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I don't do flash fiction either, but again, it's something I kind of think, oh, I should have tried that.
It's really fun. We had John Gould come, who's a flash fiction writer. He came to do a workshop for my students, and it's just a lot of fun. And so it's a good way if you're feeling kind of dragged down. It's a little bit like I'm not going to say instant gratification, because you could write a lot of bad ones before you get to the good one, but like, there's a kind of immediacy to it that you're not going to get with writing a novel. Like it's short enough that you can feel the energy of it like right away. Like that.
Well, just to wrap up, can you remind our listeners where they can find out about you online?
Yes, my website, Tracy Skuse, and that's Tracy with an I, and Skuse, S-K-U-C-E, because we'll always have to spell it, .com. And there you can find out about my book and my classes. We're gonna be hopefully getting to revamping my website this summer.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for your time today. I really love chatting with you.
Me too, Emma. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found that helpful and inspirational. Now, don't forget to come on over to Facebook and join my group, Turning Readers into Writers. It is especially for you if you are a beginner writer who is looking to write their first novel. If you join the group, you will also find a free cheat sheet there called 3 Secret Hacks to Write with Consistency. So go to emmadesi.com/turningreadersintowriters, hit join. Can't wait to see you in there. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.